Let me explain what we're going to do next, just so as you understand and know where we're heading. We're going to address this question, what about other religions, by, I'm going to tell you some of the things that I think, or give you some thoughts to begin a process maybe of discussion. And what we'll then do after I've spoken is we'll break for tea or coffee, juice, and the opportunity then will be for folk just around their tables to discuss what has been said or what hasn't been said, to say what you agree with or what you disagree with. And then later on, once everyone's got their coffee and their biscuits and whatever else is still to come, we'll have an opportunity for a more kind of open discussion, which means that the folks that are too shy to put their hands up in front of a whole room full of people and say, what about, or this is what I think, or whatever, will be able to nudge their friend, and their friend will be able to ask the question for them. Or you can ask one person or two people around your table first, and they'll tell you whether it's a really silly question, and if they don't, then you might have the courage to, or the confidence to ask it a little bit more openly. But the question we're asking is, what about other religions? What about religions other than Christianity? What are we to say, or what are we to think about them? Make clear before I start that I don't consider myself an expert on any religion at all. I know a little bit about Christianity, but don't consider myself an expert in any other. So I'm not planning this evening to tell you all about Buddhism or Hinduism or Zoroastrianism or any other world religion or the Jedi religion, and then explain to you what's wrong with it. I think that would be foolish of me to attempt, and also unfair. It's dead easy to set up a caricature of what somebody else believes and then to explain what's wrong with it. So that's not what tonight's about. If you want to know about other religions, then the only fair way to do that is to go to folks who believe something and ask them what they think about it. But Christianity presents itself as an exclusive religion. Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except by me. That's an exclusive claim. You either come to the Father through Jesus Christ or you don't get there. And his followers picked that up in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, when some of his early disciples were on trial and were being told just to stop talking about Christianity, stop making such a fuss about it. And they replied, well, salvation is to be found through Jesus alone. In all the world, there is no one else whom God has given who can save us. So Christianity claims to be an exclusive religion. And on the face of it, that seems very arrogant. It's one thing for me to say Christianity is a good religion or a useful thing to believe, but to say it's exclusive, that I'm right and all the rest are wrong, seems a very arrogant thing to say. I wouldn't, and you probably wouldn't if you're Scottish, you wouldn't necessarily say that haggis is the best food in the world. You might say it's good, but to say no other food is worth eating, or no other music than bagpipe music is worth listening to, or no other drink than iron brew is worth drinking, well, you might take that one. But we would want to say there's a whole world full of tastes and sounds and ways of dressing and things to eat, and some of them we haven't tried yet. We like our own, we might even prefer our own, but to say that it's the only way seems a very arrogant claim. And so to claim that Christianity is the only way when there is a world full of religions seems arrogant and potentially also dangerous for two reasons. First of all, because there's the danger of stirring up religious discord, tension, violence even. And we all know that racial and religious tension has caused too much suffering around the world. And secondly, because we actually miss out on something good that other people know or believe if we were to stick exclusively to Christianity. So how can we claim that Christianity is an religion? Let me make a number of suggestions, and as I say, these are really just starters for 10 for folks to drop or talk about or take further as they wish. And the first thing is this, that Christianity has always existed in a pluralist society. So this is not a new issue that's just arisen recently with the invention of fast air travel and the internet, that up until 50 years ago, it was fine for us to believe in Christianity because that was the only religion that we knew about. But since then, we've found out about a lot more about what other folks believe, and therefore it becomes more difficult to think that we alone are right. Well, that's not the case, because Christianity was born in a pluralist society. Michael Green has said that the pluralism of the first and second centuries AD was the greatest in extent and intensity that the world has ever seen. So it's not just the case that people have suddenly found out that other religions exist as well, and we need to start thinking of them. It's always been the case that Christianity has existed alongside other things that people believe, but nevertheless insisted that it was right and the others were wrong. Second thing to think about is this, that we probably not many people would want to say that every religion that has ever existed has something going for it. Even if we have doubts about the exclusiveness of Christianity, we know, for example, in the past there have been some religions that involved child sacrifice. Now, there were times when my children were small when that seemed like quite a... But on the whole, that kind of religion, we would not say, that's a good idea, that's fine for folk to do. Or other religions which have involved a kind of inbuilt, institutionalized racism. A certain category of people or nationality of people are higher or more significant or better people than the others. We probably wouldn't accept that today. And more recently, you may remember David Koresh of the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas, where 75 folks ended up committing suicide by starting fires before the government got to them, 50 adults and 25 children. Not many of us would want to say that religion's okay. If folks want to believe that, then it's just as good as anybody else. So we would all, I think, want to reserve the right to say not every religion is right just because some people believe it. Now here's another thing, and that is that different world religions are incompatible. If you know the Bible story of after the resurrection, Thomas comes up to Jesus and sees the wounds in his hands and his feet and falls down at the knees of Jesus and says, "My Lord and my God." And that's the fundamental Christian confession of faith, if you like. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my God. Now, if I were to my Jewish friend or to my Muslim friend and say, "Is Jesus Christ your Lord and your God?" then they would almost certainly say, "Well, no, he's not. That's not who Jesus Christ is. That's not who my God is." The two are incompatible. Or put it another way, it's not even clear that followers of different religion are worshipping the same God. Suppose I said to you, "Do you know Mr. Jones who lives down Lawrence Street?" And you might say, "Oh, well, I know a Mr. Jones who lives in Lawrence Street. I wonder if we're talking about the same one." And we would each need to describe our own Mr. Jones, what age he was, or what he did for a living, or what colour of hair he had, or other things about him to see whether we were talking about the same person. And ultimately, I might whip out a picture. That's him, or no, Mr. Jones I was thinking about doesn't look like that at all. Well, for Christians, the picture that we have of God is Jesus Christ. It says in the Bible that he is the image of the invisible God. So it's as if we were to pull out a picture, a description of Jesus Christ, and say, "There's our picture of God." And if I was to go again to my Muslim friend and say, "Is this what your God looks like?" then they would say, "No, that's not him at all. We're thinking about a completely different person altogether." So while there clearly are areas of overlap, followers of different religions pray, they have thoughts about creation, they may be engaged in works of charity, they might have the same moral standards. A number of world religions all regard the Old Testament as a sacred book. Nevertheless, the things that are different between them are very often the things that are most important to the people who believe them. And therefore, it's not possible to say that they're all the same. And that leaves us with two legitimate possibilities. One is that one religion is right and all the rest are wrong. Christians are right and all the rest are wrong, or Muslims are right and all the rest are wrong, or Buddhists are right. Or a second possibility is that all religions are wrong. They're all different, but none of them have got it right. But what is not possible is that it's just they all believe, because they all believe different things. Now, to that, somebody might well say, but perhaps all religions believe a bit of the truth, and nobody's got the whole thing. You know the story, maybe, of the three blind men who are sent out to find out about an elephant. And the one at the front grabs hold of the elephant's trunk and says, aha, this elephant thing is like a snake. And the second one grabs hold of the elephant's ear and says, an elephant is like the sail of a ship. And the third one grabs hold of the elephant's leg and says, it is like a trunk of a tree. Well, maybe all religions, or a number of religions, are like that, that the bit of God we've got hold of is right enough, but none of us have grasped the whole picture. And if we could somehow pool all our knowledge, then perhaps we would have a clearer or a better or a fuller picture of God. Problem with that is, if you think about it, that story of the three blind men only works if there's a fourth person there to tell the story. If there's somebody who is not blind, who sees the elephant and the man gripping the trunk and the man gripping his ear and the man gripping his leg. Otherwise, there's no way of knowing that all three blind men are investigating the same elephant. One of them could well have a snake and the other of them could well have the sail of a ship, and only the third one's got the elephant. So unless you've got a fourth person who can see the whole picture and tell the whole story, then the picture of the three blind men doesn't work. And so the question would be, in the issue of world religions, who is this all-knowing fourth person who can tell us as Christians that all we've got a hold of is the leg of God, while the Muslims have the sail and the Hindus have the trunk or whatever? Who is that person? And the answer is that there is no one like that. And that if it does seem arrogant for me to say, I've got the whole of God and these others are wrong, it's even more arrogant for somebody to suggest that none of you have got the whole of God and we can see the whole picture. And if you only put all the bits together, then between you, you've got it right. Someone else might then say, well, that's fair enough. If you want to believe that, if you want to believe Christianity is exclusive, it's the only way to God, then that's fine. You believe that, but leave other people in peace. Don't force them, or don't try to convert other people to your way of thinking. Muslims are perfectly happy with their God, and Hindus are perfectly happy with their God. Why can we not just all leave at peace and not go around evangelizing, not go around trying to persuade other people that our way is right? And certainly, I think we would be wise to admit that any kind of persuading by coercion, by force, by threats, or by violence is wrong, not just morally wrong, but actually bound to be ineffective, because if what we want is people to believe, then they have to do it willingly. And people being forced against their will or prevented against their will from changing faith is really a bit of a contradiction in terms. But just coming back to the idea that I should keep my religion to myself and not go around trying to convert other people. Well, what you need to realize is that that point of view, that I shouldn't be allowed or shouldn't try to convert other people, for you to persuade me of that, or someone else to persuade me of that, is in fact to try to change my mind about what I believe. It's to convert me to the point of view that conversion is wrong, And how can it be right for someone to convert me to the point of view that conversion is wrong? One last thing that might be said is this, that religion is maybe just an accident of birth. Okay? I am a Christian because I have grown up in a country where Christianity is the religion which most people follow. If they believe anything, then they're Christians. And if I had grown up in Turkey or Morocco, then I would more likely have been a Muslim. If I grew up in India, I might have been a Hindu, and so on. Christianity, or the faith that you believe, is an accident of birth. It's not a case of believing what is true, it's just a case of falling in with what everybody else around you happens to believe. And many of us would probably find that quite persuasive. But what we need to understand is that it actually is a very Western, postmodern attitude. That it's the kind of thing that occurs to people or makes sense to people who have been brought up in New York or Glasgow or another modern, postmodern Western city. We think like that because of where we've been born. And to make that kind of suggestion to folk who grew up in Marrakesh or Seoul in South Korea would just sound ridiculous. The suggestion that they only believe what they believe because of where they were born. So how can one accident of birth that makes somebody a Western postmodern thinker trump another accident of birth which makes somebody a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew? How does it lend significance to one set of arguments over all the others? So let me just conclude by saying this, that we do need to acknowledge the danger of exclusivism, me saying that my way is better than yours or my way is the only way. We need to acknowledge the danger that that might promote discrimination or even violence. But we need also to acknowledge that the alternative points of view, either that all religions are wrong and none of us should believe anything, or that all religions are the same and it doesn't matter which one you should follow, those points of view are equally exclusive. They exclude anybody who follows any established religion, because no religion teaches that. And it's just as likely in the wrong hands that that point of view could lead to discrimination or violence. Atheist fundamentalism is historically as dangerous a thing as religious fundamentalism in any of its guises. But Christianity, properly understood, doesn't involve believers in saying, we are better people than the rest of you, or we are wiser people than the rest of you. Because Christianity is a religion of grace. It involves people in saying, I recognize that I have made perhaps more mistakes than anybody else and need more help than anybody else. And Christians who come across as superior and judgmental are Christians who have got it wrong. Ultimately, Christianity depends on the cross, on the history of the death and then the resurrection of Jesus Christ, sent by God to save us, by dying on the cross to take away our sins. And if there had been any other way for people to be put right with God, if any other religion had got it right, then would God not have known that? And known that he didn't need to send his son to die in that particular way. So the Christian faith only makes sense if there is no alternative. As I say, these are just some thoughts to think about, to discuss. Each of them could be taken further. What I'd like to do is just give the opportunity for a few minutes to share your thoughts on the question among yourselves.